The Ghost Goal Podcast.
Manchester City backed up their treble hopes by following up a closer-than-necessary league win over Leeds with a determined fight back from 1-0 down to leave Madrid with a 1-1 draw heading home for the second leg of the Champions League semi-final. Arsenal are managing to hang around in the league title race with an impressive 2-0 away win at Newcastle United, while Manchester United seem to be staggering to the top four finish line with back-to-back defeats at Brighton and West Ham. I'm Alex, here with Javier. Welcome to the Ghost Goal Podcast, episode 408. Let's start things off with this Champions League first leg. Javier, first of all, how are you doing? Did you get to watch the game today?
Pretty well, yeah. Luckily, I did. It was a hell of a game. You know, just two of the best teams in the Champions League in recent seasons, and, you know, two styles that Ancelotti's been, you know, just a mastermind at this, and set his team up for success and really neutralized Erling Haaland. For one of the first times this season, we really didn't see Haaland get almost any chance at all. And, you know, they were always super dangerous on the counterattack, and it limited City to chances from outside the box for the most part, which is where City got their goal. So they got a couple of goals over the weekend as well with shots from outside the box. It seems to be the way that, City, even if you stop them Erling Haaland in the box, they have players like Gundogan and De Bruyne that can still punish you from outside the box. And it's why this team is so incredibly hard to beat. And Vinicius Jr., I mean, he's a fantastic player. Amazing goal from him. Playing Camavinga at left back, that was a very interesting move that, was very, very successful, I think. What did you think of that, Alex? I thought that was, he was part of the goal. I thought he was everywhere.
Yeah, we've seen glimpses of it, not just for Real, but, you know, like France started playing Camavinga there in the World Cup. Didn't go so well when they lost to Tunisia in the last group game. It went well in the final, you know, so when he played like pretty damn well for, you know, a midfielder playing out of position. It's the first time I can remember seeing Camavinga play that role in such a big Champions League game like this. But he basically plays it kind of similar to how, you know, Zinchenko would play it at Arsenal. This whole inverted fullbacks thing is all the rage now, and that perfectly suits a player like Camavinga. He's just a little inexperienced, so he's, you know, got to get his reps in, and he can figure out how to, you know, cover
did Arteta
down that
start
left wing while also coming into midfield.
Or was it Pep?
No, Pep started it. Okay. Pep started it years ago. Well, I mean, why do you even have to ask that? You know where you got Arteta from. You know, he obviously got it from Pep. And he's obviously thought to himself, I have to bring Zinchenko with me to Arsenal to make that happen at Arsenal. But yeah, not bad at all. I would be a little disappointed if I was a Real fan that they, there were big protests over the ball supposedly was out of bounds in the build-up to De Bruyne's goal. But it was so far back that VAR didn't look at it. So Ancelotti was not happy about that one. The first time I've seen him that enraged and screaming at a referee on the sideline. He's usually such a cool customer. But you know what? Obviously, I would still maintain that City are the favorites to go through, with the home leg this time being at the Etihad. But don't count out Real Madrid at all. You know, just I'll say it once again. I've said it on two different like pods, well, here and the Plus Money podcast with Andrew. That Champions League anthem goes ringing out, and whether it's home or away, Real Madrid just muster something from
even
within
after
themselves.
That first game. I still don't know which way to predict this tie. You know, but I do think City at home, they are they're a force to be reckoned with. So I don't know, Alex. I mean, you're still going to predict Real Madrid to go through here?
I am. And that's just because I have faith in just sort of like certain footballing institutions, you know? I have faith that Real Madrid will show up when it matters and they will, you know, take the chances that matter. You know, this Real Madrid team, I think a lot of people were like fearing for them as recently as that Liverpool away leg in the round of 16, the first leg at Anfield. Real Madrid go down 2-0, end up winning the game, 5-3, and the tie was over. So, I mean, Manchester City went to Liverpool this season. And I'm pretty sure they lost 2-0. So, you know, Real Madrid have that quality in their team, and they do have some injuries that they have to worry about. Like Camavinga is playing a left back because Ferland Mendy is out for the season, and I guess they don't think Nacho Fernandez is a good enough option to shift from center back out to that left back spot. Like, not even Alaba. Well, like, they don't even play Alaba out there, and he played left back at Bayern Munich for years. So, you know, there's some things for them to overcome, but, you know, as long as they've got, in each phase, they've got, you know, Courtois in goal.
Modric still looks so good. Like, he still looks like he hasn't.
Yeah, I was gonna get there. I was gonna say Courtois in goal, Rudiger and or Militao as a, you know, a strong, aggressive center back, Modric in midfield, and Benzema and Vinicius up top. You're not even counting in Rodrigo and how big of an impact he's had in big games this year. He scored in Champions League games. He scored in the Copa del Rey final, I think, twice last weekend to win that for them. He's, like, sneakily having the kind of breakout season
he's had
that
a crazy
Vinicius
season
seemed to have
League
last
well.
Year. He's been really good. Yeah.
So I think they pull it off. I don't know which way to go, Alex. I think, you know, City with Erling Haaland, you know, to me, the way that this City team has been playing in the league, you know, I think that they'll have been surprised with how well Real Madrid played, but they were away from home. They were at the Bernabeu. Getting a draw there is a great result for Manchester City. And I think going home, they're going to be home in front of their fans. And they've been pretty amazing at home in Europe under Guardiola. So I'm going to say City go through here. And I think it's going to be actually maybe handily. I think I'm going to say 3-1 in the second leg.
Well, before we move on to these Premier League recaps and previews, there is another Champions League semifinal, AC Milan and Inter. Do you care to give a comment on that? I went on to Plus Money Podcast and predicted Inter to go through. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I don't know, Alex. AC Milan are in such a good place right now. They just had they've had some good results in the league. They're trying to stay in the Champions League race there. You know, they were the champions last year, and they're finally hitting form. I think you see a player like Leao, this is going to be the type of stage for him. I think, you know, you look at players like Nico Barella on Inter, he's one to watch. You know, Onana, the goalkeeper, is excellent. And Lukaku's hitting form at the right time. So, you know, Giroud's been a monster in Europe as well, and in these big games, yeah, it's set up nicely, Alex. I can't predict Inter or AC right now. I want to see this game tomorrow, to be able to have more of a clear. I think it's a toss up right now, so I'll wait for the next pod to give my prediction.
Yeah, the two Milan teams have split their season series this year with AC Milan winning their home version. You know, they both play at San Siro, but they do still technically have home and away games against each other, and Inter winning their home leg in the league this season. But in the Coppa Italia, Inter Milan ran out 3-0 winners, so they technically have the edge this season. But it's hard to say because, you know, at those different times of the season, both those teams were playing, you know, very differently. And AC Milan did not have a great, like, first half of the league season, and have come on with much better form here in the second half of the season, you know, destroying Napoli in their league meeting 4-0 and then knocking Napoli out in two legs of the previous round of the Champions League. So they've got tons of confidence. I don't blame anyone for picking AC Milan to go through. But yeah, I think I just like Inter's firepower a little bit more, and just how, you know, committed they are to the 3-5-2, the aggressive 3-5-2 that they play. As soon as they get the ball back, they instantly switch it and get someone into wide open spaces on the opposite side of the field, which just creates so many natural chances for them. So I'm going to go with Inter Milan winning this one, and we end up with a Real Madrid Inter final. But who did you predict again to go through within the Milan derby?
I haven't given a prediction. I'm going to wait to the game tomorrow, Alex. But
pussy.
Yeah, maybe.
No, that's okay. I mean, we waited until today to do the Real Madrid Man City thing just because we want something to go off of. But look, we didn't really get much to go off of from that either. Like you said, it's kind of still really up in the air. But anyway, let's move on from Champions League to Premier League, because it's all to play for in the Premier League from top to bottom. That, you know, we mentioned Manchester City got a win against Leeds over the weekend. Sam Allardyce returned to Premier League management, and he was almost there, you know? Just want to mention, it was only 2-1. Man City had the chance to go up 3-0 in that game, missed the penalty when Haaland gave the ball to Gundogan to complete his hat trick, and he missed off the right post. And then Leeds went right down and scored a goal to make it 2-1 and make it really nervy for the last 5 minutes. So, not the worst return for for Big Sam, but Leeds are now, I believe, down in the relegation zone after Forest and Everton got wins.
Them, you know, but I respect to Leeds, just like respect to Fulham for staying in the game. You know, it looked like when they had the penalty against them in the third minute or whatever, and they were down 2-0. You know, you thought the gates were gonna open and it was gonna be 5-6-7, and pure respect to them that didn't happen. They stayed in the game, and even in the last minutes they were making it nervy for them. You know, City were time wasting, going to the corner when you're in the 95th minute, and this is a team that's in first, and you're time wasting against a team in the relegation zone. You know, I think you've done something right. So again, respect to Leeds. I think they put on an admirable performance, and I think it's what you can expect from Leeds from now to the end of the season. They're going to be in a dogfight, and every game Sam Allardyce can make sure that squeeze every ounce out of his players. And, you know, you never know with Big Sam. I think this shows that he still got it. You know, this was a great performance, a gritty performance. It was a loss, but they're going to have a lot of positives to take from it.
Yeah, I've heard rumors that Leeds, in order to convince Big Sam to take over a job with, like, an impossible task on his hands, at the very least, regardless of the outcome, he's going to be paid something like £500,000. And if he manages to pull off the impossible and saves them from relegation, then he would get an extra £2.5 million to bring it to £3 million for 4 games' work. Man, we got to get
into
coaching.
Nice day, that'd be a nice day. That'd be a nice little day's work there for him.
Nice little month's work, you know? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're him, you're trying to go for that full $3 million and the respect that would come with it for, you know, keeping Leeds up. But looking at their schedule, I think we already did this last week. They're going to be they're hosting Newcastle this weekend, Saturday at 7:30 a.m. Newcastle, after that loss to Arsenal, which we can get into in a second, you know, they're still hunting for top four. I'm sure they're going to be fine. They're in a bit of a better place than Manchester United are, but it's not locked up yet. So they're going to get a very determined and motivated Newcastle team, which is going to be just as tough. Maybe not just as tough, but a little bit less tough than going to Manchester City. So it doesn't get easier for Leeds. Let's talk about that Newcastle-Arsenal game. Arsenal, you guys managed to go up to St. James's Park, a ground that not many teams have won at this season. Got a 2-0 win. Very entertaining game, end-to-end stuff. Good spells for both teams. Some really good chances missed by Newcastle. And some great saves by Pope to keep Newcastle
in
it.
Very big chances missed by us too, Alex.
Yeah, no, I just was mentioning that. I'm just saying, you know, both teams had big chances. Arsenal managed to take theirs. Javier, how frustrating is it that you can go to Newcastle and win 2-0, but you can't win at home against Southampton?
I mean, that's, you have to look at it as a season as a whole, Alex. I mean, if you look at it from this season...
Because literally just before we started this podcast, you were just like, oh, I can't believe we just needed one win
two
or three games.
If you look at it the season as a whole, I mean, we progressed in so many matchups from last season. You know, we were able to get wins in games where we shouldn't have gotten wins, you know, like the Brentford game, the Brentford away game, the Brighton away game, the Leeds away game. All of those games we didn't particularly play well, and we got wins, which in previous seasons we would have just, you know, gotten demolished, or gotten draws. And there were games like the Tottenham away game or the Liverpool away game or, you know, even the United game at Old Trafford that we lost. All of those games, you know, I think we did enough to win. And we ended up winning the one at Spurs, drawing at Liverpool, and, you know, losing when I think we could have, you know, easily gotten a result. The only games that I think we really deserved to lose this season were the two City games. We got outplayed. And that's what ultimately what's, you know, they deserve to win the title, because other than that, we've probably been the better team outside of, you know, if you look at everyone else, every other team that we've played against this season. But in the head-to-head matchup where City have, you know, for the last 5 years been up against a Liverpool, the best Liverpool team in the Premier League era, who's been putting up 98 points and losing the Premier League title. Like, yeah, it feels bad as an Arsenal fan. This is our best season in 15 years and we're going to lose the title. But like, if you look at Liverpool's golden generation, their best team that they've ever had in the Premier League era, they won one Premier League title because of this Guardiola team. And they had a team that had 98 points and lost the title. So like, we're not, our maximum point total is 90 right now. And, you know, yeah, it would have been, if we'd gotten 97, 98 points, we definitely would have won the title, but that would have been unprecedented, unreal, you know, and this team isn't ready to do something like that yet. You know, we had games like that Southampton game, like the West Ham game, where, you know, we choked things, you know, Ramsdale error. You know, Ramsdale's still a young keeper. I defend Aaron Ramsdale so much because he has games like this Newcastle game where he made incredible saves. There's been so many times this season where he's gotten, you know, huge, huge saves and clean sheets away from home this year. He's only gotten 2 or 3 clean sheets at home. If we had better form defensively at home, like, he could easily be in the running for, you know, the Golden Glove and be far and away the keeper with the most clean sheets. But we've just been conceding goals, and the, most of the time cheap goals, goals that defenders make an error or a midfielder or giving up a penalty. A lot of times it hasn't been his fault. Yeah, he's had some errors that have led to goals. But you have a 24, 25-year-old goalkeeper. You know, most of our attacking line, Martinelli's 20, Saka 20. You know, Odegaard's 25. Everyone in the team other than Granit Xhaka is under the age of 26. So only good things from this season, Alex. And yeah, it sucks that we couldn't carry on from, you know, what we built on earlier in the season. But at some point, you know, we talked about it early on. We talked about it when Arsenal were winning all those games in October and November. We were saying, yeah, but you have this run in like April and May. Like, what's going to happen during that run? And in the end, it ended up being what cost us. I mean, I said to you, like, I thought that that's when we would eventually collapse. And we did. And it wasn't the games necessarily that I thought we would collapse in. Because if you look at this, you know, Liverpool away, City at home, Newcastle away, Chelsea at home, you know, you'd think that those are all huge games. I thought we would drop more points than what we did. It's games that the Southampton and West Ham didn't expect us to drop points in those, and it ends up costing us. But again, like, you never know. You never know. City are still have this huge game against Everton. If we end up just winning the rest of our games to the end of the season, we'll have 90 points. We'll have had an unbelievable season. And maybe City drop points twice. Who knows? They've got you know, 5 huge games left. I don't think any of them are necessarily easy.
Let's take a look at them. Sunday, they're going to Everton, an Everton team that just surprisingly put Brighton to the sword.
I think this is the best
5-1.
Chance for them to drop points for Arsenal. So if they don't drop points in this one, then I'll be very discouraged, because it's in between these two huge Champions League games. You got to think that there's going to be a lot of rotation.
Yeah, well, after that, they'll obviously have the second leg of the Champions League semifinal, though, you know, that's going to be at home. So you kind of can take out like the travel element from it. This Real Madrid away game is on a Tuesday, and they play Everton on the Sunday. They can, you know, wake up in their own beds and get in the bus and go 20 minutes up the road to Liverpool from there. So that's barely an away game in the league against Everton. After that, already mentioned, they have the Real Madrid home game in midweek, and then they'll host Chelsea on the following Sunday. I'm telling you right now, Chelsea are not slowing down shit from a very motivated Manchester City team. And then I think the last two games are the ones you're, you know, preying on, which are Brighton away and Brentford away. Now, who knows with Brighton? They've been, you know, mostly good, but they have these lapses like the Everton game.
I mean, they're still playing for a Europa League spot. So, I mean, Arsenal still have to play Brighton as
European
well.
Spot.
But Brighton away is definitely harder than Brighton at home. And the Brentford away game is a tricky game. It's a tricky, tricky game. A lot of big teams have dropped points there. I know you're saying they're going to be on the beach or whatever, but it's
Brentford last day of the season. What will Brentford have to play for in the last day of the season? Normally, I would agree with you, but nothing. They have nothing to play for in the last day of the season.
But did Wolves have anything to play for? Did, you know, Fulham have anything to play for when they went and piped Leicester there? No, they had nothing to play for. Leicester had everything to play for.
We talked about this. Leicester is terrible.
I know, but it's you never know. You never know, Alex. You never know with these teams. Fulham had nothing to play for against Manchester City a couple, a week ago. And they stayed in that game the whole time, right? Brentford are better than Fulham. So I still have hope that they could do something in that game.
All right. Well, Hope is all Arsenal fans really have these days, which, you know, I encourage you to cling to it until it's mathematically impossible for you to win the league. But I wouldn't say be optimistic. Let's move on to, I didn't get to watch this game, so this one's all you, but Manchester United continued their questionable end to the season. They went to West Ham after losing to Brighton in midweek on a 99th minute penalty by Alexis McAllister. And when they went to West Ham, they lost 1-0 from a Saeed Benrahma goal in the 27th minute. The only highlight I saw from this game was this goal. And my first and only question is, what the absolute fuck is going on in David De Gea's mind? Like,
I don't know if like the contract stuff or, you know,
I would think that would elicit an opposite reaction. Yeah, you think with him trying to negotiate a new contract, he wouldn't be fucking up.
I think it would be better for
games
both
at the end of the
if
season.
De Gea moves on, and for United, because he's on huge wages. If they renew his deal, I think it's going to hamstring Manchester United in the goalkeeping department for, you know, many years. I think they need to get a young keeper and get that next generation going. De Gea's been at the club for such a long time, been an amazing servant. I think this last contract was kind of a, you know, an honor to him, and like I don't think you have to give him another contract here. It'd be like give Spurs giving Lloris another contract, you know. It'd just be stupid. So I think for United, I mean, they are choking a little bit, Alex. I mean, this is a couple of losses now.
Do you mind if I just go back to De Gea for a minute? I do want to mention that, like, I'm happy that you mentioned Lloris as well, because I feel like Hugo Lloris and David De Gea are like the two quintessential examples of like goalkeepers who 10 years ago, when they were like the young up and coming like stars of the goalkeeping world, they were considered the future, not just because of their age, but because relative to all the other goalkeepers around them, the world-class goalkeepers, they were the ones who were good at playing out from the back with their feet. Now, fast forward 10 years, and they're not anywhere close to that. You know, we've got guys like Ederson and Alisson and Neuer who have, you know, taken that, you know, ability with your feet as a goalkeeper, and they've gone an extra mile with it, whereas Lloris and De Gea have just remained sort of, like, serviceable with the ball at their feet. They generally keep the ball, and they don't give it away, but they're not, like, pigging the ball out to the wing and starting a counterattack with their feet. That's not really what they do. I think generally now is the right time for players like Lloris and De Gea to move on to like sort of the twilight moves of their career. Whether Lloris goes back to France or De Gea goes back to Spain, I don't know. But that seems like it's like their career at the top level has basically wound down and it's over. But, you know, they had their place in goalkeeping history, and they were, like, on the road to what we see today from goalkeepers, where if you can't play, like, a lot of the same passes that, like, a midfielder is able to play, then you're not going to be a goalkeeper for a top-level side. So, you know.
It was also a terrible giveaway from Luke Shaw in midfield. It was his back pass that Paqueta latched onto.
I still blame De Gea.
No, it was terrible from
you
De Gea.
Get your hand to it.
But again, like all of it was just a terrible team, you know, team performance from Manchester United, and you know, kind of bizarre that and telling that you have Harry Maguire on the bench, but you're starting Luke Shaw at center back. So, you know, I know that he's been good there, but it's just to me, it's bizarre that you have Lindelof, Shaw when you have Maguire on the bench. I mean, there obviously still a lot of problems at Manchester United. Weghorst isn't the answer for them. Sabitzer, I don't think so is either. They need to move on from Martial. Sancho is just, I just don't think he's good enough for Manchester United, or he needs a change of scenery.
I still believe.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of change needed at United, a lot of refreshment, and for them to get top four with this squad and the position they have, it would be a great achievement for them. So I'm thinking for them, you know, they don't have difficult fixtures to end the season here. I think they're going to need
I think they need 7 points.
They're going to need 7 points from their last four games. It didn't look that bad when it was 7 points from the last five games with this game and with West Ham in hand. It does look a little bit more, you know, crunch time with these last four games now, even though they're easy games. I think they're going to need 7 points.
The pivotal thing here is that three of those four games are at home and the fourth is at Bournemouth, which not easy, but with three of those games being at home against Wolves, Chelsea and Fulham, and Manchester United, I don't think have lost at home since the opening game against Brighton, which feels like a million years ago when Graham Potter's Brighton went there and beat them like 3 or 4 nil or something. Their home record has been absolutely exceptional, regardless of who's injured, who's suspended. They usually get the job done at home. So I think they're still going to manage it, and they're going to limp over the finish line and beat Liverpool to a Champions League place. But I understand if United fans are a little bit worried about that one.
Well, I say they need 7 points because they do have four games left, so they have a maximum of 75 points, but I don't think they're going to win all four of their remaining games. But Liverpool can win their last three games here, and they will be on 71 points. So I think United have to guarantee that even if Liverpool went out here, that they finish above, you know, those 71 points. I think Newcastle, because United don't have great goal difference, they're going to need to have, I think, 72 points or more.
Yeah, agreed. All right, do we want to hit on this relegation six-pointer that went on Monday? I mean, there were a couple of huge results for the relegation teams that we've already mentioned.
Well, just
but
really quickly,
one that we haven't.
Liverpool's last three fixtures are Leicester away is their next game, I mean, that's Leicester, I think, are pretty done. You got to think Liverpool are going to
if they don't pull something out of their ass against Liverpool on Monday night, then yeah, they will probably be done.
Then their next game, they have Aston Villa at home, which I think Villa's kind of petered off now. That whole Champions League Europa League push is you know, definitely come to an end, and they're going to be going to Anfield, where Liverpool have been unreal. And their last game of the season, Southampton, who will be relegated by that point. So I think Liverpool are going to win their last three games and make it 71 points. And that means United probably need to win three out of those last four games, Alex.
They can do it.
I know they can.
They have three out of four games at home.
But I just want to remind everybody that there was a few years back, Unai Emery, he had five games left. He needed, I think, he needed a win and a draw, and it was five pretty much meaningless games against like mid-table teams, just like this. And there was home games, and it looked like an easiest run to get top four, and we choked it. I'm not saying United are going to do that, but the games look easy, but with the pressure all on you and the opposing team having no pressure, sometimes it can lead to fucking wacko stuff happening and your team just making a freak error, like what happened with De Gea. I mean, that's just like a great example. I mean, West Ham were pretty much already safe at that point. I mean, that win obviously brought them completely safe.
Yeah, they needed them one more win because they have these Europa Conference League semifinals against AZ Alkmaar this Thursday and the following Thursday. So they needed to, you know, kind of settle their Premier League season as much as possible so that they can, you know, put their focus on winning a trophy.
Safe,
weirdly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on. That relegation six-pointer I was mentioning was the Nottingham Forest 4, Southampton 3 game on Monday night. Monday was a goal-crazy celebration of football. They had a Monday off, a bank holiday weekend this past weekend in England for
great promotion for the Premier League. It was three games on USA all day, and it was just 23 goals in three games, which is just unheard of.
Right, what, 5-3 Fulham over Leicester in the 10 a.m. game, 5-1 Everton over Brighton in the 12:30 game, and then 4-3 here in Nottingham Forest, Southampton. Nottingham Forest, I bring them up because they're going to be going to Chelsea this weekend, Saturday at 10 a.m. They're out of the relegation zone with that win against Southampton. We mentioned going into that that they needed to be targeting that one to, you know, make sure that they take advantage of the easy matchup, while teams like Leeds and Leicester had, you know, tougher matchups to contend with over the weekend. I think we're both in agreement. We were in preseason that Nottingham Forest are going to be safe. I think they will do enough to be safe. And I think that may be even as soon as this weekend when they go to Chelsea. You know, they are admittedly a better team at home and more dependable at
getting
results.
No, Alex,
like,
I need you to beat Nottingham Forest, gain your momentum before the City game, Alex. Chelsea will be on a run and stop Manchester City with nothing to play for. You guys will do what you did to Liverpool.
And even if we did, they would still need to drop points again. So
they would have already lost or drawn against Everton. And you will be
I'm telling you right now,
the hurdle
if they drop
in
points,
their way, Alex.
If they drop points against Everton, then I would bet the over for the Chelsea game, because they're going to come out with a vengeance against us that very next game.
We'll lend Jorginho back to you for that game.
You what?
We'll lend Jorginho back to you for that game.
Oh, no, haven't you heard? We're good in midfield. We got our midfield sorted. Enzo, Gallagher, and Kante. We don't need Jorginho back. He's not good enough for us anymore.
Do you
want to
gush about Madueke, Alex? You guys got your first win in seven. You can't.
No, we're not talking about Chelsea. We're talking about Nottingham Forest. They're down the bottom of the league still, just outside of the relegation zone.
They're pretty much safe, Alex.
Well, but here's the thing. Last three games at Chelsea this weekend, Saturday, as I mentioned. Then the following Saturday, they're going to host Arsenal. You know, if somehow Chelsea beat Nottingham Forest and, you know, the teams below them gain some points, maybe it's Nottingham Forest at home who are kind of finally putting the final nail in the coffin of Arsenal's title hopes. So, and then after that, they're going to Crystal Palace. So,
I mean, what are you talking about? We're going to win our last three games and make City have to win out. So.
But Javier, you know how it goes. You guys, you know,
no,
you win the Newcastle game.
The last,
the Newcastle
that was
game,
our last slip up. That was our last chance
you don't,
to slip
you
up.
Don't, I think you're going to drop points to. Nottingham Forest away is going to be like Southampton all
points,
over again.
You idiot.
I mean, Forest just beat Southampton 4-3.
We're literally going to win. There's no chance we
you
drop
guys
any
couldn't
more
beat Southampton at home. You guys couldn't beat them.
I don't care. We're not dropping any more points this season. We're putting the pressure on.
All right, Javier. You tell me. I know Nottingham Forest are not safe, but for your money, would you lean towards them being safe this season?
Yes, and I think it's going to be Leeds 18th, Leicester 19th, and Southampton 20th. I called it in the middle of that Fulham-Leicester game. When I saw Leicester playing so badly, I thought to myself, you know what? They're going to go down. They're too shit. This is, you know, a team that's supposed to be on the beach in Fulham, and they could barely put three passes together against them. So, you know, it was pathetic performance. I think that they're going to go down with a whimper. And, I think Forest have just done barely enough. I think this was the game where they had to win. Southampton kept coming back. You know, the Forest went up 2-0. Southampton came back and scored. Forest made it 3-1. Southampton came back and made it 3-2. Then, you know, 4-2, then Southampton make it 4-3. You know, it just, everything had to happen for North Forest to get this win, and they did it. And it was huge. I mean, this was basically their season. And it shows that they probably just barely deserve to stay in the Premier League.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't think they're done. I think this weekend they go to Chelsea, and I think at the least they're going to get a draw against us. A very highly motivated,
I think a point
aggressive
would be
and
almost
direct
safety,
team.
But I think a win is 100% safety.
Yeah, I think they could manage a win. Like, yes, there were improvements from Chelsea against Bournemouth, but we could have easily lost that game too. We looked like Thiago Silva gave away a penalty when it was 1-1 in the second half, but VAR didn't give it. And Chelsea managed to go on and get the win with, you know, 10 minutes left to go. So it ended up looking more comfortable than it actually was. But Chelsea are by no means, you know, fixed with that result. And, you know, Stamford Bridge hasn't been a fortress for us in years. So I don't think Forest will be, you know, intimidated in the slightest. And with their safety at risk, they're going to come out all guns blazing, and I think they're going to win. So what other games coming up this weekend kind of catch your eye? I know the Arsenal-Brighton game is one of them. But I think you guys can, you know, be fairly confident of a win there with, you know, how Brighton looked against Everton on Monday.
I think the Leeds-Newcastle game, you know, I think this is do or die time now for Leeds. They're at home in front of their fans. And, you know, Newcastle almost have Champions League wrapped up. You know, they need a couple more wins here. But I think Leeds, they have to perform there. And the Leicester-Liverpool game, like you said, Alex, is the last chance pretty much for Leicester as well. You know, they're going to have to bring something out in front of their fans. And if they can do it, then pull something out of their ass. They'll, you know, put Liverpool down from the Champions League hopes and maybe make a last miracle effort here. But you got to think it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. They've had some like big results against Liverpool in the past, but that's when Jamie Vardy was at his best. And they actually had, you know, a defense to sort of lean on. Liverpool are obviously, you know, playing very well going forward at the moment. Leicester defensively, even with like the signings they made to replace Wesley Fofana when they sold him at the beginning of the season, it just hasn't gelled in time. You know, Soutar, the Australian center back they signed in January, and Wout Fyss, the Belgian center back they signed at the beginning of the season, they just haven't meshed correctly, and there's been some horrific defensive performances as a result, like you saw in that 5-3 game against Fulham on Monday. So I have no confidence in Leicester whatsoever. Let's make a final prediction. You've mentioned about this Everton-Man City game Sunday at 9 a.m. You think this is the game that they... Did you say this was the game you think it's most likely they drop points in? And if so, what do you think the score is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that smushed in between these two huge Champions League ties, you know, Pep didn't make one change in midweek. All the players played, you know, till the last minute. There wasn't one substitution. You got to think there's going to be heavy rotation for the Premier League game. And if there is, there might be a chance to slip up. And Everton have all the motivation in the world. You know, they get a win here and they're safe pretty much. So, you know, Everton need a win. They need a big result. And I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to get like a 1-1 draw. It's in the plot, Alex. It's in the plot.
If you say so, because I still think even with rotation, that means City are bringing in players like Phil Foden and Alvarez, you know, so, you know, like Nathan Ake coming in at the back. It's maybe it's midfield that they might have to worry about a bit of rotation, but they're still generally good enough to beat a team like Everton. I agree. I don't think it's going to be easy because Goodison Park on a, you know, the end of season with Everton trying to like get safety again. We've seen this plenty of times before, them manage to upend technically better teams. They did it to Arsenal earlier this season when they beat them in Sean Dyche's first game. But I think they may have like sort of, you know, bust their wad a little bit too soon with that that big Brighton win. Like no one saw that 5-1 coming. No one saw it. Like, and if any Everton fan tells you they did, they're lying. They were shitting themselves going into that game. You could see it in all of their fans' faces in the away end. I think City end up winning 2-1, and maybe there's like a contentious decision that makes people think like, oh, it should have been a draw. Maybe a penalty isn't given or something. But I think City end up, you know, getting it done. And, you know, that will happen right before Arsenal play Brighton. It's Sunday 9 a.m. is the Everton City game. And then 11:30 a.m. on Sunday will be Arsenal Brighton. Do you think if City, you know, get a win in that Everton game and push that lead up a little bit more, maybe that kind of makes Arsenal wilt under the pressure a little bit? Like, obviously, if City drop points in that and Arsenal see an opening,
Alex,
I would expect them to come out and be,
you know,
under the
pressure. I think we're going to win out. I think that Newcastle, the high we're going to get from that Newcastle win is going to easily propel us to destroy the next three games that we have this season. I think we're going to pipe the next three teams.
Okay, what's your score prediction?
4-2 Arsenal.
Okay, so yeah, definitely watch that Arsenal-Brighton game. It should be very high scoring.
Yeah, they just conceded five to Everton, and
yeah, true.
Yeah, I think we're going to put four past them.
All right, well, unless you have anything else, I think we should end things there. Anything else to discuss before we go?
I think we covered everything.
Well, Javier, I want to commend you for, you know, once again improving on your you're becoming more and more prolific in terms of your usage of Twitter. We got a very impressive you know, breakdown of your relegation picks the other day. Well, like you said, during that Leicester loss at Fulham, you put out a tweet with screenshots of all of the relegation teams and their schedules for the rest of the season, and, you know, telling people where you think, what you think the bottom three is going to be and why. So yeah, be like, more of that, please, Javier. We the people want it. The people want it, so keep giving it to them.
Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't.
You don't have to start tweeting multiple times every day. You can sort of like build up, gradually ramp up, as you like to say. We just, you know, maybe like two or three tweets a week, you know, and, yeah.
We don't know what direction Elon's going to take Twitter, Alex. You never know in a month or two. It might not be
For the time being. If you want to follow Javier, you can follow him at JavierRev9. You can follow me at ASMoss92 on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow the podcast socials at Ghost Goal Pod. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. Those new ratings and reviews help people to, or new people to find the pod. So it's always appreciated when you guys can help us grow this thing. Enjoy the games this weekend. And until next time. For you.